to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed tree. Oh,
He claimed to be the unique, only begotten, incarnate Son of God. And then look at the death he died. Did ever a man die like Jesus? They first took off his clothes. Then they took long leather thongs with steel pellets or lead pellets on the end and beat him across the back until he could hardly stand up. Then they put a crown of thorns on his brow and his face was bleeding. And they laughed at him and they spit on him and they mocked him. And with one snap of his finger, 72,000 angels had already drawn their swords, ready to come to his rescue and wipe this planet out of existence in the universe. And Jesus said, no, to this end was I born. On the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he dropped his head and said, it's finished. He sees you and you alone. And on that cross, Jesus had the capacity to think of you. And he loved you enough to stay on the cross. Was there ever such love as that? And when they went out to the tomb that morning, they heard the greatest news the world has ever known. He is not here. He is risen. And if you don't have the resurrection, you don't have any gospel. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive.
Let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Happy Easter.
Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking, till love came calling. Rise up.
Rise up. I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name, you called my name.
Just
Happy Easter. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? What was it? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but now alive. All my failures I try to hide. It was my dream till I met you. When you called my name, into your glorious day, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Listen to this verse. Anybody relate to this? Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name, into your glorious day, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Rescue, my sin was heavy. Chains wake at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. You called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call,
victory. The King of Love had given up his life. the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens rose.
Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you. We thank you for this day so long ago, some 2,000 plus years ago, where Friday was not the end because Sunday came. And we give you praise that for the fact that you loved us so much to give your life, to suffer an incredible suffering. But you love us so much that the story didn't end there. You rose again, said you could take us because you said, as we talked about last week, in my Father's house. And so, Lord, we look forward to that day when we get to go home. And we just ask that in this time that we celebrate, not Easter, but we just fully celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. All hail King Jesus. In his name and in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all other names, we give you praise. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Tell someone happy Easter, and our kids can head to Haven Kids.
I have one fan. Yay. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you were competing with the first service. And there's more folks in here, so I need to hear that one more time. Good morning.
Good
morning. Cowboy in the back row. I hear you. It's all good. I'm just so excited. I see some faces I haven't seen for a while. Glad to see you here. It's all exciting. I see some new faces. And I see a lot of the old faces. I almost said a bad word. But I won't go there, I promise, Jack. I'll be good, and I'll cut mine back to 3 minutes. Okay, well, I'm in trouble now. I want us to lift a hand to that young lady and that praise team, because I tell you what, I can't do the Congo to that, but I was ready to dance. You are amazing. Absolutely, absolutely rocking it. I just thought that was amazing. My grandson said, is there more? I said, sure. I would like all the youth who walked with our cross on Friday, in the name of Jesus, please stand up. And you probably all just went to the other classrooms. I'm sorry. Give them a hand. They walked the cross for Jesus from the park to the middle school. Did I get that right? Yay. And that is an amazing, amazing thing to do. Thank you. I saw you all on Facebook. It all looked good. And we have another praise. JJ, in the back row there, was accepted into nursing school. So we are excited. That's not an easy feat. There's a waiting list. So we're excited for you. And I think that's about all the good stuff. Sorry. I haven't had any chocolate yet either. But it's in the eggs when I get home. And I know which ones have chocolate. We want to lift a few folks in prayer. Linda's sister is very ill, and she's asked us to keep her in prayer. So we want to lift her in prayer. And then I have a shout out there. My sister-in-law is going through chemo, having a tough time, and I want to lift her and pray with her and just give her healing. And Liz and Jenny and Dale, I did Dale twice this morning. So now he's got three times, so three times a charm. Right? His back would be better. And Sue, we're glad to see you here today. We're just excited to have you. Jaden, I don't know where she disappeared to. She's in the other room. She sprained her foot this week. So we need her to be careful and get back in action. And this was funny the first time. It may not be funny the second time, but I had somebody call out sick to church today. Bobby Burke, and I know she's cussing me because I'm doing it twice. Gotta love her. She's really not feeling well, but she texted me, and I was just like, well, thank you for letting me know. It's all good. That's not funny? Have you ever called out sick to church? Yes. No. Yes. COVID, 15 months or whatever that mess was. But anyway, we love you, Bobby. Hope you're feeling better. Robin Hildebrandt has asked us to lift Alma Fowl. She's in ICU and she's very, very ill. Y'all are laughing at me back there. That's not right. And Erin and her family, she lost her father, and we want to be with her and lift her in our prayers. We all know what today is. Sunday has come. Jesus has come. And Jack's going to tell you it's Saturday. I still don't know the timeline. And I am in disciple. I have seen it 5 times. So anybody else fail the test with me, you are my new best friend. Okay? I just know it happened. And that's all I care about. That's all I care about. It happened. He came back. He took my sins. You see that cross? On Friday, we laid our sins up there and gave them to Jesus. And I want you all to think about that today. So while we do that, we're going to put our hands on our knees, and we're going to lift it up to God. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for this church and the amazing faces I see today and how blessed we are to have such a great group of fellow Christians that come together and build relationships and fellowships. It is so important because that's your work and that's what we're here to do. I thank you for each and every one of them. All the guests that came today, may Jesus touch your heart and be a part of your life because the excitement is just way too much to let go of. I want to pray for those that we've lifted in prayer today. We have a lot of folks that need healing. We ask that you put your healing hands on them. For those of us who are carrying burdens on our shoulders, God, we give it to you and let it be. I know that you take it away from us. Give our hearts peace, because for me, I found peace with God, and I want to share that with you, because once you have this peace, your life will be fulfilled. Every day will get easier. Every day. So I come to Jesus with these prayers. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, there we came out of the tomb. There we go. All right, it's Easter, so I resurrected my white pants. All right, there we go. Oh, I feel like I'm walking the cat. Like I walked the catwalk. Okay, anyway. Sorry. How you doing?
Good.
You excited to be here?
Yeah.
I am. I am too, and I'm really tired, but that's awesome. Before we go any further, just thanks to everybody who does stuff, particularly Joanna mentioned the worship team. I mentioned Dana who decorated and all the AV team and everybody who does that. Just a lot goes into to doing this and just to see people who love the Lord and get stuff together. Melinda and Dana and Andy and Jim and hi Jake and Jake back there. So I'm it takes a whole team and it's so awesome for that. So I'm thrilled with all those kind of things. One of the announcements that was up here I do want to touch on is April 14th. We will have our Haven 301 class. If you haven't done 201 or 101, that's fine. You can go ahead and connect to that. And in that time, that is going to be where we're going to have different ministry leaders. And you can see what's going on here, where you may be interested in plugging in. You can get a chance to talk to the ones who are leading different ministries. So those are really, really awesome. But here we are, and there's several other things. So I challenge you, if you're not in the first row, in front of you, there should be like a QR code that you can get the church app. It has all kinds of information and all kinds of good stuff that you have there. And I said this morning for Bobby, she called out sick from church, and that is an excused absence in heaven, just to let you know. So you know, she's a teacher, so she knew she got the, maybe it's like code 3, like for the triune God. I don't know anything like that. But anyway, we are glad to be here and glad to, isn't it kind of odd? Doesn't seem like we just were singing Christmas songs because this year was a small time between Christmas and Easter. And so we've been working on a series, and we're on the last day of the series, and I've been working on something else. I'm really excited about the next series, but you gotta wait to find out what it's about, so come on back. This one, we've been talking a couple days in 1 week, and what we've been doing is taking the last week of Jesus, what we call Holy Week. That last week of Jesus, which started in Palm Sunday, where they were waving palm branches, went all the way through the week. There's a couple days that we skipped just for time, and our youth did a great service in the midst of that. So on Good Friday, we focused on the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus, and then we got to the point of here today where we're celebrating the resurrection. And each event in that week, like we said, half of John's gospel is on that last week and those last couple days particularly. And so it's just really neat to see that. But what we were talking about in the series is that it's called the Passion of Christ. And as we're looking at that passion, yes, because it relates to suffering, but just his love for us, just the Father's love for you and me and the love that Jesus had, that every event in there is just filled with just a passionate situation of how he just loves us so much. And the goal of this whole series was that to look at what he went through and his passion and love for us, and that we can maybe in turn return some of that back to him by giving him the love that he deserves. So I want to jump right into the message right here today, and I'm excited about it because many of you may think that I thought that I was going to talk about the resurrection, because that's what we do on Easter Sunday, but I'm not. I'm actually going to talk about the day before. I'm going to talk about Saturday. And we're going to use the term Saturday. Yes, I'm going to go through my little thing, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, and show you this, which everybody groans and loves. But I'm giving you information, and you can sound really intelligent later, all right? But again, the main thing that I want you to hear here is that, once again, if you've not been with us, maybe you'll get it more than the others. But basically, we go by days that start at midnight and go to the next 11:59. And then when it kicks over, that's another day. Under the Jewish calendar, they didn't have electricity, and it goes on for years and years. So what they would do is they timed from sundown through the next day till sundown. All right, so that's a day. So what you see is and here's the biggest thing that people struggle with. Days are before nights. So we get up in the morning and we say, even though we know it's dark before, we get up in the morning and we say, oh, wow, starting today, it's Monday. And we go off and they say, oh, it's Monday night when it gets dark. Not for them. For them, it would be Monday night, then followed by Monday. Got it? Did I do better that time? Okay, I'm getting better only after 8-10 weeks of this, okay? And so I want you to focus that. Why is it important? In the grand scheme of things, it's not. Because as Joanna said, we know that he suffered and died and rose again. And that's the important part. And we need to believe in him, and then we don't have to worry about all that stuff because we just get to be present with him. But ultimately, it does help for when you reach into people, because like in the scripture it says, always be ready to share a reason for the faith that you believe. And some people will say, well, that doesn't add up to 3 days. Yes, it does. If you pick the Jewish calendar, it adds up to 3 days. And on the third day, he arose. Hallelujah, right? So that's what I wanted to share with you there. Don't worry, it'll be back. But what I want to do is there's not a lot about Saturday, but there are some verses. And I want to share, and we're going to say Saturday for that time rather than going Friday, we're going to say Saturday. And so we're going to talk about this. There's a verse in Luke chapter 23, and it says this. Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, meaning the Jewish Sanhedrin, the ruling body, the ones who condemned Jesus to death. And we learn he was a good and upright man who had not consented to the decision and action. The decision and action was to hand him over, flog, and crucify him. And he came from a Judean town called Arimathea. Everybody say Arimathea.
Arimathea.
Okay, so we know him as Joseph of Arimathea. That's what he goes down in history. So I would be like Jack of Northeast. All right? Or Jack of Port Deposit now, or whatever. You know, you get it. All right? And he himself was waiting for, what was he waiting for? The kingdom of God is what he was waiting for. He was waiting to see this new kingdom of God. And he went to Pilate. Now, Jesus had been crucified at this point. He goes to Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and he placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one which no one had been laid. Stop. Now, what this means is, back then, they would share tombs because they were expensive. So what would happen is, you would go, you would be wrapped up and put in spices and stuff, and then they would wrap you around, and your body would decompose after some time. And after it would decompose, they would go, and they would take an actuary, it was like a little box, and they would go ahead and collect your bones that were left over, put them in a box, put your name on it, and then go put it somewhere else, all right? And then the next person who died, they would go ahead and use the tomb the same way. But this is one that was a brand new tomb. Nobody had ever been laid there. Now, it was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about ready to begin. Now, I know you guys missed it, and you can't wait for me to bring that weekly chart back up. So I'm going to do it. Here it is again. Ready? One more time. And then watch the magic I'm going to do. I'm going to shrink it, and here we go. Oh, isn't that awesome? All right, so I'm just going to focus on these last couple days here where we're here, and there's a reason for that, because we learned from Luke's gospel here that it was preparation day, and we learn also from John's gospel that there was a special Sabbath. Now, Sabbath is there's 52 weeks in a year, even in the Jewish calendar, and every week we will call that Saturday, okay? Begin sundown, but don't go about that. But it's Saturday, is Sabbath. That is their day. It's a day that you do no work. You rest from your labors is actually what it means. You do nothing. They actually have people in Israel that are Orthodox Jews that will stand on the corner as you're driving by and yell at you because you're not supposed to be driving. You're not supposed to be doing anything. And so that was the Sabbath. So there's 52 of those. However, they have other holidays, or we would call them holidays, but they're called feasts. And of those feasts they would celebrate, they would have a special Sabbath. So it's like when Christmas is in the middle of the week, you get that day off, most of us, correct? And so in what happened here, John says there was a special Sabbath. And if we look at that at this, we would say, well, Friday night, that wouldn't have been Sabbath. It would have been Saturday. What happened is you see where it says the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a Sabbath high day. That is the special Sabbath. Because it was Passover, they had an extra Sabbath. They had an extra day off, an extra day of rest. And so by our purposes, that was Friday. So Friday, Jesus is crucified. It's getting dark. So they got to get him in the tomb, because what would happen is Jewish people could not work, could not wrap somebody up, could not take care of any of that. So they hastily wrapped him up together. Joseph and Mary and Thea said, "Can we get him?" Because he died at 3 o'clock, and it says, and he took him down off the cross. He was still hanging there. Why? Because in Roman crucifixions, if nobody asked for the body, they left him up there to decompose and have vultures pick at him. That's really what happened. And so they didn't want that to happen. They knew if it got sundown, they couldn't violate Jewish law, and that would be 2 days in a row. Because you have special Sabbath for Passover, and then you have Sabbath normal week. All right? So they have an extended weekend. So they had to prepare for that. And that's what they mean, preparation day was preparation for the coming Sabbath and for the another day of Sabbath, the regular one. They had to get that together. So meanwhile, their Lord, the person that they love, their friend, had just been crucified. They saw him die, and they've got to get him off the cross within a couple hours and get him all fixed up. So Joseph of Arimathea says, "Hey, give him to me, and I'll take him." He takes him down, wraps him up really quickly. We learn that the women do it, and they get him. They put him in this tomb. They seal it. And then they go and they put guards there. Okay, everybody see where I'm going with this, okay? You like that a little bit better now, okay? I can tell. So this is where we are right now. So this brings us to where we are. And for the purpose of recognition, we're going to refer to, as much of history as Friday as one day, as the day of crucifixion. That's what we're going to do. And so that is what I want to refer to, Friday as the day of pain. And suffering, that day of pain and suffering. And then we have Sunday, which is the day of promise, the resurrection. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have ever had a time where you've gone through a painful situation, and then you're in a period, you knew that there was a promise coming, but you were in that middle Saturday time, yeah. The waiting. Anybody like that? That your life may be consumed by the pain, and you have a promise of something. Like, for instance, you may have had you may need surgery for something. Okay, you may need surgery. And so you go ahead, you're dealing with the pain and dealing with the pain, and it's affecting you, but they can't get you in till later. Like, I remember, some of you might remember, several years ago, I had problems with my gallbladder, and they couldn't get me in for 2 weeks. I lost weight. You can tell my gallbladder's gone now, but I went ahead and I lost weight because I couldn't eat anything, because any little bit I ate, I wanted to die. It was the most pain I had ever had. And so I go, and then and I finally went, and when I finally went, I was waiting for that day on that schedule, and it was too far out, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a day of hope when you get this out of me, please. Either get it out of me or let me die. That's how much pain I was in at that point. And so we have those kind of areas. Like, I know there's some women in here who have given birth, correct? And you get pregnant, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to have a kid. And then there's this thing called labor. And guys, we ain't even going to act like we understand that, because if guys did that once, we'd be like, I ain't ever doing that again. You know, because we're into ourselves, okay? But, and then you give birth, and you're waiting for that day of promise, correct? You can't wait for that day of promise, and then somehow you ladies have this amazing ability to forget all that pain. You know, you don't forget? You just do it again, then. I'm not even going to say you're numb, but anyway. So, not going to say it. I didn't say that. I don't know what you guys are saying. But so you go through that. But the day of hope and promise allows you to deal with the pain. But when you're about that 8th or 9th month, you're like, come on. Right? Right? Help me out here, ladies. Okay, thank you. All right. So I'm not going to act like I know anything except for just to sit there and count when you're breathing. That's all I know. All right. But so that's where we are. And so there's, what I'm saying is, there's pain. There's a day of pain, there's a day of waiting, and then there's the day of promise. And here's where they are. And one of the things I've found out in my life, and I believe in everyone's life, is there is always a gap or a barrier between the pain and the promise. There is always, always a gap where you're experiencing the pain and you have this promise and you don't know how to deal with that. And many of you right now are in that Saturday gap. right now. You're experiencing something very difficult in your life, and you may hope and you may trust in the promise of God, but you're going through something and you're stuck in the middle of it. So many of us know very well that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, but what we forget is that he is also the God of the middle. And so, because we get focused on the beginning, all this pain, and the promise that I'm going to relieve for, come on, Lord, and say, oh, Lord, but you are also the God of everything in between. The God of Friday, who gave up his life, and the God of, the Jesus of, and King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is the one, the Savior of Saturday, of Sunday, is also the one of Saturday. And many of us don't know what was going on there. We're waiting, we're in our Sabbath, and we feel this gap, and we don't know if we start to question, is it going to be filled? Is it going to have the promise? You're still dealing with the experience of the pain. And what I want to share today is, to be honest, there are a lot of things in Christianity that are fun and good. But there's other things I got to share that aren't true. And one of those, if you're like me, it's that waiting is a part of the Christian faith. It's one of those concepts I don't like, because I don't like to wait. Particularly in this society, I don't like to wait. Many of us don't even go to store. You know why? Because we have Prime Delivery. How many love Prime Delivery? How many were excited when they were talking about doing drone delivery? I was. I was like, ooh, I'm going to order a package. How many love when you're looking at things, or let's say you're looking at things on Amazon, and you see something, and it says, if you order it now, you can get it today. And you're like, ooh. You order. Or you may say, like, you see one that says, it may come in 3 days, but this one will come in 2. You're like, mm-hmm. You want it now, don't we? We want it now. Anybody remember dial-up internet? And you went to download a song? Legally, yeah, right. All right. And you were downloading it, and 2 hours later, you're about halfway through the song, and someone calls your phone and cuts you off, and you have half of John Cicada, Just Another Day. Right? I don't know why you want that half anyway, but you know, you had that, and you're never going to get it again. But then they went ahead, and what do? They came out with a program that picks right up. You're like, ooh, just 3 more hours, and I have John Cicada, right? Remember the... Now, how many of you get so irritated when your high-speed internet does that little for like 2 seconds. What are you doing? I pay for high-speed internet, correct? And we want it. Or our Netflix doesn't work. How dare they? Or we're trying to do something. What is wrong with... No, I cannot hear you now, Mr. Verizon. You know, you go through the... Oh, no, AT&T, I'm not your friend. You know, we want it now. We want what we have now. We don't even have to talk to people. We can go ahead, except for on Sundays, and we can go ahead as we're pulling up and get on our little Chick-fil-A app and go, boop, 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 have what we want. And we go in the line that is for mobile orders, and we're like, later. And we go up, and they give us this, and we're like, I got my spicy chicken and my fries, and I got this, and yeah, I didn't have to talk to anybody. They had it ready for me. Woo! And we love it because we don't like to wait at all. And I really don't like to wait for things I should not have to wait for in my life. And so, there we go, somebody says it. And anyone, you're like me, you're late when your package is supposed to be there at a time and it doesn't arrive. You're like, what? It's delayed? How dare they? And you wanna call somebody, don't you? I wanna call somebody. I should get that shipping given back to me. Yeah, but you have Prime, it's free. I don't care, I should get something, right? We live in that moment. And a lot of us, it is that we are in the, aren't comfortable with the Saturdays of our life. We are not comfortable with waiting. It's like, I think it was Tom Petty said, the waiting is the hardest part, right? And it really is. It is for many of us, especially now. And so what we have with the disciples, they had the biggest pain ever. They see their Lord, the one they agreed to follow, the one that just a Sunday before they said, oh, he's the one. And now he's dead. And they ran and they denied him and they hid. And Saturday is a long time. Oh, but remember the promise? They're like, what promise? He's dead. It didn't seem like the hope was so far removed from how they thought about it because of the pain that they're experiencing. And many of us are there. And we say, in the midst of the Saturday, God, are you doing anything? And the truth is, something is happening even though we don't see it. That Jesus' body was there, but God was at work in Jesus in so many other ways. There's a lot of theology around this Saturday experience, and I'm not going to go into all the theology for you, but what I, because there's so many different theories, but one that's believed by most is the fact that after Jesus died, he descended into hell. And I'm going to share with you some of those verses. Another people say that he ascended to hell, but they thought that he had to deal with hell because of paying for sin. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," the sacrifice of Christ on the cross took care of it all. And so it was finished at that moment. But what happened? My personal belief, and I'm going to share with you, is he did go into hell, and I'm going to show you why. His body was in the tomb, but spirit went into hell, and he had a good time. I'm going to show you what happened. Here's what it says in Ephesians. He also descended to the lower earthly regions. Recognition of hell. He descended in there. You're like, what did he go there for? 1 Peter tells us this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. That is what the cross did. That's Friday. That's the pain of Friday. He was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in what? The spirit. And after being made alive in the spirit, what did he do? He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. Guess where they were? In Sheol, in Hades, in the part of hell. He went down there because there were some righteous people who were still sinful. But they looked toward a Messiah, and Jesus said, "Here I am." How do we know that? Because Matthew's gospel tells us that after the crucifixion, he gets really excited, and he says, on the day that Jesus rose, tombs started popping up and some righteous people started walking out. They were waiting for the resurrection, and when Jesus resurrected, they got two with him, right? Why? Because he went down to hell and said, come on, you can come with me. The rest of you guys, you're here, all right? So there's a lot of different theological beliefs, but he went to that place of the dead. And regardless of why he was there, and I'm going to share some more, the bottom line and the truth is that in that gap that we focus so much on the disciples hiding and so much on the pain and so much on the loss, it didn't look like he was doing anything but being dead, but he was made alive in the spirit and he was doing some of the most amazing things. It's like, for instance, 2 years ago, we did a series on the Apostles' Creed. And historically, in the organized church, Christians wanted to say creeds so they knew what they believed. And so here's the Apostles' Creed. It says, I believe in God the Father, almighty creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell, and the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits, or if you have the old version, sitteth, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick or living, because you're a little bit quicker if you're alive than if you're dead, the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. Don't get excited, Roman Catholics. It means universal. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion or fellowship of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so that was something that's 1,500 years old that they said, and part of that was he descended into hell based off of Scripture. And Colossians 2 says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, if you disarm somebody, why do you disarm somebody? Because they are armed. Very good. Because they are armed. So what are they armed with? So he had to do that for who? Powers and authorities. This is the bad guys in hell. So what did he have to disarm them with? Because we still deal with it. So what did he disarm them with? Well, Jesus tells us later. He tells us through the revelation that he gave to John in the book of Revelation. It's Jesus' revelation to John. And here's what he says. John is there. He spent 3 years with Jesus. And John says he heard a voice and he turns and he sees Jesus. Now, if you want to, here's your theological term for the day to make you sound really intelligent. Your homework is to use it in a sentence today at your Easter dinner. And it's Christophany. Everybody say Christophany. Christophany. What that means is after Jesus' resurrection, you see Jesus. Paul did it and John did it here. And John says, and when I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. Somebody he spent 3 years with, why did he do that? Because he saw him in his glorified state. And he dropped, just passed out, right at his feet. But he laid his hand on me and said, come on, John, get up. And he says, do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, who was dead. Other religions, their gods are dead. Ours was. And behold, I am alive for a little bit. No, forevermore. And then Jesus does something really awesome. He amens himself. Did you notice that? He's like, he says, hey, guess what, John? It's me. I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. I am the first. I'm the last. Amen. I am Jesus. That's pretty awesome. That's Jesus with some swagger. You know what I mean? Like, John, you get up, buddy, because it's me. It's Jesus, and amen. Right? You should be amen to me because I am Jesus. Right? And so he goes there. And then you know, I believe this is such a sage for what we're talking about today, because when we think that our God is laying in the grave and is dead and is far removed, he's actually working on your behalf. Because what did Jesus do to disarm? Look at what he tells John, how he did to disarm them. And I have the keys of Hades or hell and death. And then he goes on, because I live, you shall live also, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What does that mean? He has the keys to death, because the wages of sin is death, and he conquered sin and death, so he has the keys. He also has the keys to hell. Isn't it awesome that Jesus went into hell and said, and I truly believe that Satan thought he had him. And when he died on the cross, you hear a knock on hell's doors or gates. And somebody goes over and says, Satan, I think it's for you. And she's like, what's up, buddy? He's like, huh? He's like, excuse me, I'll take the keys to death. Oh, and by the way, give me the keys to hell too, because you ain't even having the keys to your own house. Because I'm Jesus. Amen. Right? And he went down there. He preached to people. He released captives who were looking for him. And he took the keys right from Satan. So if you ever think that Satan is equal and opposite to Jesus, forget it. He's not. He's not. When Jesus goes into his house, takes people from his house that he had captive, and takes the keys to what he has for you and me. And Jesus says, hey, I unlock who I want to unlock. And you know how I unlock? Those who have a relationship with me that recognize that I gave my life for them. And so that's what he did. He disarmed them by taking it, saying, I got the keys. I got the keys. I got the keys. And I love Daniel. We go to Daniel's gospel. And Daniel's gospel, I'm preaching, then I'm going to get practical, I promise, all right? But Daniel was an amazing character. He was in Israel, and then the Babylonians came and took him away, and he was in Babylon, and he was a young man, and he loved the Lord, and he never gave up on his faith in God. When they would say, hey, if you don't follow this and bow down to that, he just kept praying to God. He was thrown in the lion's den and came out fine. And he went through several different kingdoms, the Assyrians and others, and he always found favor, and he was in his, like, 70s, 80s by the time he died. And yet he was there and never got to go home to his homeland, but always remained faithful to God. And he was dealing with something at this one point, and he began to pray and fast for 21 days. And you say, 21 days? Well, didn't God hear him on the first day? Think God, wait, why would he continue that for 21 days? But he did. And here's what happens. The angel appears on the 21st day. He's been praying all that time. And look, it says the same words to Daniel as Jesus did to John. He says, hey, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the what day? First day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, the first day that you wanted to find out what's going on, the first day that you sat and prayed and fasted, the first day that you did that, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Now, stop for a second. My immediate reaction would be like, then what took you so long? You know, you heard me. Were you like, I heard you, but sit here and see what happens? Are you like, I heard you, but, you know, I got some other people scheduled. I'll get there, about 20 more days out? That's about what I'll do. And a lot of us think that when we're praying that God isn't listening. We think that we're praying it's just falling on deaf ears. It's falling on maybe a Saturday dead Jesus. And we're saying, he ain't listening to me. He's not listening to me. How am I going to get the hope and promise that I'm expecting if he's not listening and not paying attention? But he heard him the first day. And what does he say? And I have come in response to them. And so why were you late then? He answers the question. He says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me. Stop. This is a reference to a demonic principality when they're talking princes here. They're saying that this evil force, that we were told that we are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this dark world. So there's this whole spiritual battle going on, and he prayed. The angel was on the way, and this opposition came up and said, hey, you ain't getting there. No. And they're doing this battle for 21 days from the beginning. And he's like, so Daniel may be thinking nothing's happening. But meanwhile, the angel's saying, while you think I ain't been doing nothing, you've been faithful praying, I've been in a battle for you. Because that sucker wants to come get you. I've been in a battle. He wants to keep me from you. But then guess what? Something really cool happened. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, again, Michael, one of the three archangels, one is Lucifer. Lucifer becomes Satan and his head of worship, all right? Then you have Gabriel. He's like the post office of heaven, all right? Goes ahead and tells Mary, tells Elizabeth, just tells people he's a messenger. And then there is Michael. And Michael is always the warrior angel. What Michael is always the one that leading a third of the heavens into war, into battle. He is the one that when Satan tried to steal the bones of Moses, he said, buddy, you're going to deal with me. So if you want to see who equal and opposite is with Satan, it's Michael. It's not Jesus. In a moment, Jesus can say, done with you. And he will. He will. And so Michael shows up and said, let me take care of this sucker. I'm better than him. So Michael whoops this demon's behind, right? I don't know if they have butts. I don't know. But anyway, so he whoops his spiritual behind and then frees the angel to get away from that and comes to Daniel because Daniel was praying and fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting. And his Saturday was 21 days from the moment he prayed. And so what Saturday reminds us is this, that while we are waiting, God is warring. Jesus is warring. While you're in the wait, he's very active. We may think that he's just hanging out in the tomb, that he's not listening. We're stopped because we're Sabbathing. We're resting from our labors. But God is at work, and there's two things that we have to do, and this is where I'm going to get practical. We wait and we war. We wait and we war. We wait and we war. So I'm going to share this with you. Number one, whether you like it or not, we wait patiently. We wait patiently. Even though I am sharing and teaching this today, I am not the most patient person in the world. I've got a lot of wonderful qualities. Patience is not usually one of those. I'm always in a hurry. Like, I just hurry. I hurry to eat my food. Like somebody said, my gosh, you eat fast. I'm like, yeah. You know, I slow down. I'm like, no, I gotta eat. I got stuff to do. Anybody else like me? You're gonna admit, oh, there we go. I got some. The rest of you are liars. Okay, anyway, but I'm sorry. Now, some of you take way too long to eat. That's all I'm gonna say. But I go real fast. And you know what one of my hells on earth is? And it's gotten worse after the COVID years. When you're in the fast lane, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? And if you're that person, Jesus, please heal. Yeah, all right. But like 35 miles an hour in the fast lane. Move. Just over that way a little bit. Just a little bit. Like a whole lane a little bit. Just let me go, because I got places to go and things to do. I tell you, if you want to pray for patience, get behind those people. Because when you pray for patience, God gives you things to be patient about. He doesn't just go, boom, there's your patience. Woohoo. You don't get it that way. You get it for people who are making you absolutely crazy. No, not at all. There's plenty of that. So... But, you know, it tells something about my impatience. And so when I'm in the Saturdays of my life, I don't want to wait. It reminds me of the story of the guy who was talking to God one day, and he said, God, what's a million years like to you? And he said, it's like a second. He said, wow, that's amazing. He said, well, what's $1 million like to you? And he said, it's like a penny. And I said, wow. He said, hey, God, can I get one of those pennies? And he said, yeah, in a second. You got it. You got it better than the first group. I like it. All right. So that is funny. I like that. So, but there's a lot of truth in that, too. That a God who is outside of time and sees beginning and to the end, he knows he has you in the palm of his hand. He's promised you that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that things are going to be all right. And even when we don't think we are, he says it's going to be okay. So it benefits us to just be a little bit more patient, because patience is a result of us trusting in an almighty God. The thing is, this is just how God works. He's not in a hurry. He doesn't work on our clocks. And this is really tough for us Americans with our drive-through mentality that I talked about earlier, where we can get what we want at any time, in any place. Ever remember, like, when like, during COVID, like, where Walmart and stores didn't go 24 hours? It still irks me at times, because I always want something at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? That I don't need. And so we talk about this patience. One of the first main people that God shares about this covenantal relationship is a man named Abram, or Abraham. And God promised Abraham that you're going to be the father of many nations. And it was at a time where he was well advanced in years and had no children. So Abraham is in the Saturday of his life. He has a promise. He has the pain of getting older and not having any heirs. And God gave him a promise in the midst of that. And Abraham does what we do. And we'll take this into my own hands. And we start doing some stuff, and we start making things happen. And Abraham had a child, and that created the Middle East conflict. Congratulations. When we take stuff in our own hands and don't wait for the promise, we end up with a Middle East conflict. And so what begins to happen? Then Abraham did that, and a lot of things went bad. But then when he's 100 years old, when his body had lost its reproductive ability, as a matter of fact, the scripture said he was as good as dead, God says, all right, now's the time. Now's the time. When he thinks there's no way that this can happen, now's the time for me to work. Abraham had to get patience because logically his body wasn't going to answer the call of God and come through with the whole hope of a man of many nations, a father of many nations. Wasn't going to happen because he's as good as dead. And God says, no, now's the time. And look at what it says in Hebrews about this. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised. Abraham didn't wait patiently at first. He took it into his own hands. But when he had no other choice but to wait patiently, then God said, now the promise is coming. Now the promise is going to be revealed in your life. After waiting patiently. Why does God do that? Is he just trying to be mean? Is God just saying, I want to mess with you a little bit? Like, come on, God, I know you can do it now. Get on with it. I really believe the reason is that God is also more or as equally interested in doing something and developing something in you as he is in dealing with what's happening to you. And so it's kind of like a both and, or in the South, they call them twofers, a two for one. So yes, he hears and he's answering your prayer, but he also wants to develop a character in you. I read this verse from James chapter 1, verse 4, and it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, does anybody say, you know what? I want some perseverance. I certainly hope I get some trials today. I want it to be just a day that I hate. I want to wake up and say, that was the worst day of my life, but I'm getting perseverance. None of us want to do that, correct? None of us do. And I was thinking about some of this stuff. I was thinking, many of you know my story of the other years where my mom died. We had some other stuff happen that year. We had something called COVID that happened. We were celebrating Easter with me and Melinda and Jim, and I think Danny was in here too, and it was it was very weird. We did Good Friday. Some of you might remember the online thing and how we did that. It worked, but I was like, I had no clue what I was doing. Then later in, had some stuff that happened to our family. Then later on in that year, we had just in one day, my mom got sick, and then she had a perforated bowel, and she died later that day. And Jill and I are standing in the hospital. Jill was there first because it was COVID, and you could only have one at a time. And I'm with Dad, and I had to tell my dad, who we thought was well going to go before her because he had so many other issues. We thought he was going to go well before her, and then Mom dies, and then I had to tell him that she was dying, and then 4 months later, Dad has a stroke, and he dies, and then 6 months later, Danny dies, and then 6 months after that, John Hobbs dies, and then a year later, Bill Sammons dies, and I have no mentors left in my life. Meanwhile, I'm dealing with attacks on my character, on my name, on me. I'm dealing with all kinds of conflict from people who are friends, I thought were friends, that aren't. I'm dealing with all this kind of stuff, and I didn't find any of it pleasurable. I wasn't like, I didn't say this week, oh, yeah, that was a great time for perseverance. No, because I thought it was going to crush me. But when I started looking at it, it doesn't say consider pure happiness. It says consider pure joy. And where joy is rooted, it's a state of being, meaning that whatever happens to me, it's okay, because I don't know who what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. And it's going to be okay, because it may be Friday, it may be Saturday, but on Sunday I get the promise. And the promise is that it's going to be okay, regardless. And through that, people would say, how are you doing? And I'd be like, it's awful. But at one point I started getting worried about me because I felt numb at times. But I had a counselor, and I had other people that looked after me and talked to me. I had a God that loved me and surrounded me with people that loved me. And what I found out is Jesus didn't say, let's mess with Jack today, I don't think. But what he did say is, what's happening to you, I'm going to develop something in you that you never experienced in your life. So guess what? You're going to be more solid in this world, because the promise of holding the keys of hell and death is not for just eternity. It's for hell on earth right now. And so I can deal with it because I know Sunday's going to get here. You may have your own situations, and ultimately what you get to is, when something happens to you, recognize that God will use it to do something in you. When somebody upsets you, when you feel like everybody's against you, God, and your world is crashing down, God is working in it all for the good of those who love him. So if we're in school, anybody been in school? You know how when you get through school, like how do you get through a class? How do you pass a class? You pass a test, the test. If you fail the test, you're taking it again. Anybody know? I see some teachers here. Is that how it works? Okay. Part of our life is passing the tests that are before us. And we work through that. And so sometimes we say, Lord, I'm going through hell on earth. It doesn't look like you're involved at all. But then we continue with James 1:4, and he says this, but perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking everything. Now, let's say I started today. Hey, it's Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. Yay, how you doing? Hey, today I'm going to give you the answer that will have you be mature and complete and not lack anything. Who wants it? You'd be like, "Woo! Can I get it off of Amazon?" That's what you ask. Is Prime delivery? Can I get it here quick? But no, you can't. You know what you have to do? You have to go through, you got to have perseverance complete. And that's every day of life. Perseverance, 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 so that we can get a little bit more mature and that it can work and complete, so then we can have everything. Because guess what? When we reach that point of perseverance, whatever is before me, it doesn't matter, because I know whose side I'm on. I know I'm on the winning team. So whatever happens to me, you can get to the point of where it comes to where the disciples were, where you can kill the body, but that's just freeing me to be with Jesus. So that's all good. It's all good. You with me here? You getting anything out of this today, okay? In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. So when we don't have a character, because we don't have perseverance, then we don't have hope, which means the hope is in Sunday. The hope is always in the promise of God. That's where it is. Number two, we wait hopefully. This is the encouraging part today, because I want you to lift your faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's that word again. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. Perseverance brings completion. Perseverance, just keep on going, keep on going, keep on trusting, keep on trusting. Keep moving forward, even if it's just a little bit. And what happens is then you get to receive the promise that God has for you. For just in a little while, I hate to tell you, it ain't your little while. It's God's little while. It goes back to that million years thing. In a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous ones will live by faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so you persevere without getting caught in the stuff of life. So I got a simple message for you today. And the simple message is, I apologize for it, it's so simple. It's simply this, but people need to hear it. And somebody needs to hear it today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. We spent the beginning of the year talking about depression, and we talked about all kinds of mental health, and I've seen people give up. It breaks my heart that I've seen people who I loved and cared about give up and take their lives. I've seen others who've given up on their children, on their relationships, on their dreams, on themselves. And I know that you're tired. But don't give up. Persevere. Galatians 6, 9 tells us this. Let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a blessing if we don't give up. You keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. And I can tell you, are there times that you've done things that are good and that are for God and you just go, I don't know why I'm doing this. Nobody cares. I don't know why I waste my time doing this. There's somebody who does care, and his name is Jesus, and he says, you keep doing it, and guess what? Then you're going to get the blessings that I have for you. So don't give up. Don't ever give up when you go there. And so we've been waiting. We've been waiting. That's the two things to waiting. And guess what? Now we need to get warring. Warring. So we war consistently. What do I mean by that? Remember Daniel? Pray the first day. Pray the second day. Pray the third day. Pray the fourth day. Pray the fifth day. Pray twice, three times, the sixth, seventh day. Keep praying all the way up through the 21st until the hope and the answer comes and the blessing comes from God. You may say, well, I already prayed about it. God must have forgot about it. Nope, he doesn't. Why didn't we pray then? To remind ourselves of the promise and the hope. To remind ourselves, I'm praying because it's coming. I'm praying because I'm going to get the blessing. I'm praying because I know that it's going to be here. I'm praying because I know Sunday's coming. It's Saturday. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I'm feeling more of the pain than I am the promise. But guess what? I know it's coming, so I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to pray. And guess what? While I'm doing that, guess what? The angel and also the angel Michael are fighting my spiritual battles for me. Also, we'll pray and we'll say, we'll get to a point where we're so beat down. We'll say, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to pray whatever your will is. No, tell him what you want. It says ask. Say, Lord, I want you to get rid of this sucker. I want you to get rid of it. When I was going through all that, my prayer was constantly, God, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. I don't want anymore. I don't want to get close to people because I'm going to lose them. I don't want to deal with this. God, what happens if people believe nonsense? What happens if I was going back and forth every day? Like, I would just go to sleep of exhaustion and wake up and say, ah, I'm still here. All the time, I kept and kept and kept feeling that. But then I realized something. I realized that prayer is not only communion with God, it is also confrontation with the enemy. There are so many scriptures I want to share, but I don't have time. But one, Ephesians chapter 6, take your stand against the enemy. Don't be a passive Christian. Be a warring Christian. Confront the enemy. 2 Corinthians 10 said, for though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. It tells us we're fighting. It's assuming that we're fighting a battle. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is basically a lie that Satan has given to you that you believe, and it's there, and you can't get rid of it because you believe it yourself because you've been lied to so many times. And he'll use other people to build it up more and to build it up more. Well, stop thinking about what people think about you and start thinking about the person who created you, what he thinks about you. And when you start with that process, those strongholds come crumbling down. And you can be renewed in your mind by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We demolish anything from the enemy, and we take captive any attempt for him to get that. And that's why every day I pray for my family, I pray for you in this church, and I bind any attack of Satan on people's lives, not by my power, but in the name that is greater than any name, the name of Jesus. So I say in advance, God, I thank you that you're healing him. Or God, I pray for my kids, my granddaughter, Lord, every one of them. I know you have a plan for their life. I'm praying for your church. I pray for this and that. I keep on going. And I pray for the needs from the congregation. And God, I pray for this and I pray for that. And I'm believing for miracles in Jesus' name. Because you said that all authority had been given to you by the Father, and now you give it to me as long as I use your name. You ever go into a place and mention somebody's name who's got some clout? Don't you feel special? Like you walk in and you say, hey, I'm friends with so-and-so. And they're like, oh, okay, come on in. I have this one friend of mine. She's awesome, from West Virginia. And I think she's got like a Jedi thing. Because we will go to places and there'll be a tent. Like one time we were going up to the game. We're dressed like, you know, just kind of like normal. Maybe abnormal, I don't know. But in this tent, they had this like whole like, people dressed up at a football game with ties and suits. And she goes over to him and she's like, hey, I'm looking for so-and-so. He said, oh, he's not here now. She goes, okay, I guess we'll wait here. And they go, no, come on in. She goes, well, I got other people with me. They're like, come on in. And we walked in and they had steak. They had drinks. They had like, I mean, it was better than any tailgate kind of situation you could ever imagine. And we got in because she did this Jedi mind thing. These are not the droids you're looking for or whatever. And we walk in and we're eating there. And I look at her, I go, every time. And she just has this knack for doing this. And because she knows people. And we got, I don't even know how we got in there. But we got in there. So we fight that way consistently. But we also fight confidently. Because we have a name. Philippians. We're reminded of that name. He says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, and remember what therefore is? You find out what it's there for. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That includes Satan. Every knee will bow. How do I know that? In heaven, every knee bows with the name of Jesus. On earth, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. And under the earth. You know why? If they ain't, Jesus is going to open the key to it and say, hey, I'm the owner, kneel. Amen, I'm here. The name of Jesus has power throughout everywhere. It's the greatest name that we have. So how do we war confidently? Not by our own strength, not by our degrees, not by our intelligence. We war in the name of Jesus. Being blood bought by his sacrifice and raised with him to new life. So that's why when I'm dealing with something in life and I'm getting beaten up, when I pray, I will say, and in the name of Jesus. Because if Jack's saying, hey, I don't want this to happen, God, I hope that you'll hear me in this. When I invoke the name of Jesus, all hell shudders and takes off. All hell disappears and says, he's one of them. And they leave for a time. And they come back and they hit you again. And then they come back again. You know what you do? You say, and whatever you're praying for, you say, and in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus. And we keep applying the name of Jesus. And so if you look in your bulletin this today, if you got one, you'll see that the end song is not the song we're going to sing. Because at 9:30 last night, I called Keith. And I said, hey, we got to sing a different song. We got to sing a different song. Not that that song isn't a good song. It's Do It Again. It's a good one. But you know what we're going to sing? What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. It is the name of Jesus. We are in a sad, you may be in a Saturday moment in your life right now because of the pain you're experiencing in life. Invoke the name of Jesus. Look to the promise because Sunday's coming when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords burst out and said, I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Amen? Let's stand and let's get ready to worship his name. Lord, we just give you praise and honor and glory for all that you are. And you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There is no other name, no other name in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth, that which someone can be saved and causes all hell to shudder when the new landlord approaches it. And so, God, as we are here today, I realize that there are people in the sound of my voice that are here today that are going through a Saturday. Some may be right now in the midst of a Friday. But whatever it is, God, we know one thing, Sunday's coming. And so I invoke the name of Jesus right now. Not Jack's name, because that goes nowhere. But I invoke the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. For someone here whose relationships are breaking apart, God, I invoke the name of Jesus. And we claim healing and restoration. For someone who is struggling with their health or they're confused about the future, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any attack of Satan and I ask for your peace and your glory and your healing to approach them. Whatever those prayers are right now, we lift them up to you. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it is a beautiful, it is a wonderful, and it is the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior and Lord. And all hell shudders. And so God, as those of us who look at this place as our church, we take time right now for your tithe and our offering. It's not about us, it's about you. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to be on the gifts, multiply and use them, not for Haven Church, but for your kingdom. Because everything that we do here is done in the name of Jesus Christ to further him around the world. If you're visiting today, I want to tell you all I want you to do is just to receive. Receive what Jesus has for you today. Receive the Spirit of God upon your life. You may have been a Christian. You may consider yourself a Christian. But when you look at your life, you say, man, I've had more Saturday experiences than anything. And so you need an experience of Sunday with Jesus Christ. Feel his presence. Connect to him. If you've never experienced him in your life and you say, I want to know the Savior. I don't want you to have religion. I'm not religious. I'm in a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what I want you to have more than anything. So just tell him, Jesus, I don't know all the theology about this. I don't know what day or you died or night. I still ain't going to figure that out. But what I do know is I have a God who loves me, who gave his son for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, believes in him will not perish. No matter what this world throws, but I'll have everlasting life. And so, Lord, do your work right now. And I'm getting out of the way and letting your spirit fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you
switch that, huh? Hey, here's what I just want to tell you, and I'm going to let you go home and eat your hams and your whatever, all right? I want you to know the Jesus I know. I want you to know him more than anything. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else. It's not about what church you're part of. If they are a blood-bought church that loves Jesus, that's all that matters. And they're doing his will. Don't miss out on heaven on earth because you didn't take time for a relationship with him. He loves you. He gave his life up for you. and up from the grave he arose. And he was dead, but is alive forevermore. And the name of Jesus is the greatest name. Amen. God bless you. Love y'all.